Next on BYUSN, Tournament Day in Kansas City, and I'm so excited, I'm already losing my voice. 5-seed BYU and 12-seed UCF in the Big 12 tourney. What's the key to the Cougars beating the Knights for a third time this season? I'll be joined by Tyler Hawes and Jonathan Tabernari to discuss how today's game could impact BYU's NCAA tournament seeding.
We are live from Kansas City as the Cougars hope to make a run in its first Big 12 tournament. Plus, we'll preview this morning's game with assistant coach Cahill Fennell and ESPN's Fran Fraschilla.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton, hanging out solo in Studio B, but not entirely alone, because in Kansas City is Jerem Jordan, live from T-Mobile Center. Jerem, KC, tournament day. How are things looking as BYU gets set for UCF?
They're looking and sounding, unfortunately, better than your voice. How's your voice, by the way? You
amazing,
okay? You got
amazing.
Amped up last night? What happened?
Listen, you should have. You heard me at 7:15 this morning. You couldn't hear me at 7:15 this morning, but you
like,
can hear me now.
Like, dude, you went hard last night.
Indeed, I did. Hey, it was ball night eve, right? Now it's a ball morning. Like, but we're ready. We got the vocal cords loosened and ready to go, and your voice is certainly ready today as well.
Thanks, man. Let's just hope BYU's ready, more ready than both of us. And I think they are. And you'll hear my conversation with Cahill Fennell, ESPN's Fran Fraschilla, as mentioned, coming up later. But BYU got here Monday night, Spence. The next morning, they enjoyed a great practice at UMKC, home of the Roos, the Kangaroos. There's your fun fact. BYU ate some Joe's Barbecue. Andy Reid recommends Q39, which we had in October.
It's outstanding,
night, by the way.
It's outstanding.
And so BYU, it's so good. BYU had a great day yesterday. They've been practicing in the mornings the last couple of days to accommodate for what is the earliest tip time of the season, Spence, 11:30 a.m. Central Time, 10:30 Mountain Time, of course, which is during our show. The game begins halfway through this very program, which is pretty cool. Yesterday, cool opportunity for us. We got in here in the afternoon, went over to Arrowhead Stadium, joined Tom Homel and Chad Lewis and BYU donors and administrators at Arrowhead Stadium, where Andy Reid, of all people, came out and met the crowd, took pictures, talked. He's hoping for a big tournament run from BYU, tore the locker room. I saw where, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's locker room, Dirty Dan's locker room. They were like, yeah, it's over there in the corner. So pretty cool stuff here in Kansas City. Right outside the Power and Light District, the BYU band warmed up the crowd at a pep rally a few moments ago. And saw the Cougars walking in. Game faces, Spencer. They were pretty serious walking in and ready to go.
Understandably. And love the preparation, the detail that goes into getting BYU in this specific time frame and timeline. Cannot wait to see how the Cougars look as they try and beat UCF for a third time. We'll get to all of that in just a moment. But, Jerem, I believe Brett Yormark announced some things that we need to be aware of. The Big 12 commission is already busy at work.
That's right. He addressed the media yesterday. He said this tournament will stay at T-Mobile Center here in Kansas City through 2031. It's a great spot. There was some conversation that maybe this would move to Vegas because you have four corners coming in. Now you have five teams in the Mountain Time Zone. Nope, it's going to stay here. And this place is buzzing. I've seen shirts from almost every team here at the tournament. It's going to be very exciting the next couple of days here that hopefully BYU makes a run all the way to Saturday. We'll see, right? He also mentioned that ESPN will be the primary rights holder at this tournament when the contracts re-upped in 25-26, and that there's been an 8% increase in men's hoops this year.
Nice.
Thank you, Houston. Thank you, BYU. Cincinnati, UCF perhaps as well. And that women's soccer, that tournament, is going to come to Kansas City starting this fall and next year. So Kansas City, the home of the Big 12, man.
Hey, let's go. We've done the Vegas tournament thing plenty. Okay, been there. We've covered
yes,
that.
We have.
Let's do Kansas
yes,
City.
Have.
And speaking of, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
To Ali Khalifa. Wide open. He drives and dumps it. He got hammered.
It's going to take a lot to beat UCF. UCF wears you down. They are so long and athletic defensively.
Four, it's out to Robinson. Long three. Oh, man alive.
UCF BYU part three happening today in the second round of the Big 12 tournament. Once again, Jerem Jordan is live in Kansas City outside T-Mobile Center. I'm hanging out back here in Studio B. So let's, before you got to go watch the game, Jerem, which starts in roughly 27 minutes, let's discuss this matchup because it looks like UCF is peaking at the right time, not just based on what they did against Oklahoma State yesterday, but they've won 4 of 6 and they've done most of their damage away from home, Jerem. Like, this is a UCF team that is getting very, very interesting as we push into March. So let's talk about what you saw yesterday and what you are looking at when you digest the numbers between the Knights and Cowboys yesterday. What jumps off the page about UCF, what they accomplished yesterday, and what BYU faces today?
Certainly there was that conversation right yesterday on the show. You guys discussed who would you rather have. And UCF beating a team 3 times is certainly a challenge. You don't often get that chance, right? In the Mark Pope era, BYU's done it once. It was LMU in 21-22. And since 2000, Tyson Jeck's feeding me this information, BYU Sports Information Director, BYU's beaten a team 3 times in a season, 16 times. Mm. It feels like that's a lot. That's less than once a year. You don't get that chance a ton, but BYU does today. So they certainly need to beat UCF today to continue kind of this good run at the end of the season BYU's been having so far. We forget that it was just, what, 15 days ago that BYU beat Kansas? Like, there's still good vibes coming off of that. The TCU win, the nice second half on Saturday night against Oklahoma State. But certainly UCF presents some problems. They love to chuck and just go get a rebound. They rebound really well offensively. Yes. Ibrahima Diallo is a handful, had 17 points, 11 rebounds yesterday. They've got some shooters on the outside with Sellers and Johnson. We've seen them, right? BYU's first road game in the Big 12 was way back on January 13th. BYU won in Orlando in a 5-point game. That was a tight, low-scoring game. Then in Provo, BYU's up big late. UCF makes a huge run, cuts it to 2. BYU survives 90-88, shoots a program record 40 makes from the free throw line. I'm hoping it's not that game because that was rough to watch, Spence. But today, BYU's certainly got to show up and you'd think make threes, but really BYU's got to defend and rebound. This could be just a messy game like it was the first two. I'm fully expecting that. And let's see if BYU can, in its biggest conference tournament, I would argue ever, Spencer, they show up at the Big 12 tournament. And today, because 1 through 4 don't come into tomorrow, BYU's the best team in this gym today by seed, the 5 seed. BYU's the top-ranked seed in this tournament today. They've got to bring it against UCF and advance to Texas Tech tomorrow.
There's a lot on the line here, not just for what BYU wants to do as the Big 12 tournament wraps up, but for seeding in March in the big dance. Like, if BYU really wants to get to the 4 seed line, today is a must-win against UCF. And we'll discuss that at length when we're joined by Jonathan Tavernari and Tyler Haas about the ramifications there, Jerem. But as far as the matchup goes today, I'd like to remind BYU fans of a couple of anomalies and some weird things that happened in the first two meetings with UCF, specifically the role of Fusini Traore. Like, I was looking at both games combined, Jerem, almost incredibly, with how good Fus has been in the post. And, like, I know he's an undersized big. The size of UCF gave Fus real trouble in both matchups. He has more combined turnovers, 6, than total points scored. Again, in both games, he has scored a total of 4 points against UCF in both games. That is wild. So Ali Khalifa, if you remember, he was a huge part of why BYU won that initial matchup in Orlando. And it's Ramadan. This is a really interesting and religious-based filled week for Ali, who is fasting from sunup until sundown. And I love the dedication, the commitment, that story, Jerem. But, like, Ali, you would think, is going to be, have to be the guy again because he gives UCF problems. He creates a 5-out scenario for BYU and is a 5th capable 3-point shooter. So I can't imagine BYU's going to go away from it based on what happened the first two games with Fus really struggling with Ibrahima Diallo and that size and the tenacity inside of UCF's defense. I can't wait to watch what BYU's going to try and do once again with Ali Khalifa. Or do they maybe feel like they got Fus in a position where he can find some success? Like, I'm super intrigued by the matchup of the bigs here today and the role of both of BYU's big men. How do you see it playing out in that regard?
Yeah, I think BYU, you're right. BYU's got to make threes because Fusa struggled and Ali is fasting, so it's hard to expect Ali to, like, put up 17 like he did in Orlando. But maybe he's so focused and dialed in. And honestly, the game being the first one in the morning is not the worst spot it could be.
Yeah.
I think if BYU was in that second or third game, it would be tough. That fourth game, if you were at night, he could actually drink water after the sun had set at night, which, by the way, he's been fed at about 5:30-ish in the morning each day this week. But walking in, I could see in his eyes that he was very focused. And you're right, it's not just the game. It's Ramadan. It's religious. It's bigger than the game. But he's dialed in. I could see a look in his eye that told me, hey, he's dialed in for this one, and obviously bigger than basketball. But you're right. I think BYU can't rely on Fu/Ali to provide a ton of scoring given the good defensive nature of UCF, who's top 15 in the country, one of the best in the Big 12. They need to make some threes. Now, when BYU won in Provo, they only made 8. They made 40 free throws, though. So where are the points going to come from? Perhaps it's the free throw line. We'll see, man. Which, by the way, the first meeting was on January 13th between these two. The second on February 13th. And what's today?
It's March 13th. March 13th. How about
Travis Kelce
that?
Town, Taylor Swift.
13.
Preseason poll 13. 13's the number.
You're
making 13 threes today, Spence.
Oh, you're 13, going one baby. Step further. You're going one step further. 13 threes. Listen, if BYU makes 13 threes against UCF, Jerem, they'll win by double figures.
Easy win.
They'll win by double figures
yeah.
against a great defensive team. Couple of things to also watch. The last time BYU and UCF played each other, the Cougars turned the ball over 17 times. Too many. I know it's UCF, and I know that they thrive on that, and they get after yep. it defensively. BYU yep. needs to be at 13 turnovers or fewer, Jerem, to feel good
I see you.
About what they're going to do today and if they want to be in position to win this game. You got to take care of the ball. You got to get after the rebounding. I can't wait. This is such an exciting day for BYU basketball and the history of Cougar Hoopsters to be in the Big 12 postseason tournament and be playing for something that it's bigger than anything that BYU's ever played for in terms of, like, power conference and positioning in the NCAA tournament. Like, this is unique, man. And so I can't wait to watch what happens. And there's some extra motivation for BYU, too. Texas Tech awaits. BYU, they want another chance at Texas Tech after what happened in January when they let a 17-point lead go away in Lubbock. So there is that added motivation as well.
I think there's even more motivation in addition to what you're saying. BYU's found different motivating points throughout the season, right, Spencer? Hey, we're picked 13th in the preseason poll. No one thinks we can do this. They get into the season, and then they just start to shock people. No one thinks we can win at Kansas. How big has that win been for BYU? And then there's the fact that none of the BYU players were first, second, or third team in the league. And so Dallin Hall said on Tuesday to the media, and I quote, "We've had a chip on our shoulder all year. People have told us we can't and counted us out. It's all stacked up and we pile it up and we put it to the side. We just proved everybody wrong all year." And now what proving people wrong for this tournament, I think, would be at least getting to Friday, Spence.
Yeah.
At least winning today against UCF, beating Texas Tech, getting, like, you upset somebody, a 5-4. Not a huge upset, but an upset. And then if you played Houston and you upset Houston, well, now you're definitely a 4. And you're hopefully in Salt Lake, but we'll see. And it all starts today. You got to take care of business against UCF.
One of the favorite quotes that was given to me all year from one of the BYU players, and I won't specify because, you know, it is what it is. But he said, "You can share it, just don't tell him I said it." I'm so sick and tired of hearing people tell me how crappy our team's going to be.
Right?
It's a thing. They're tired of hearing everybody say, "Oh, man, BYU's going to stink this year." It motivated them. Well, stink this. Now you finish 5th place in the Big 12. You're in the top 20, and you got a chance to do something super special in March. Our poll question of the day, by the way, Jerem, is this. How many games do you expect BYU to win at the Big 12 tournament? We have 4 options, 0, 1, 2, or 3 plus. The leader in the clubhouse right now is 2 wins, 44% of the vote. 44% of the primarily BYU fans, I'm sure, expect the Cougars to get to Friday and most likely a matchup against Houston.
Do you think UCF fans are weighing in on the poll?
I don't know that BYU's like, poll
zero.
Question showed up in their algorithm. we'll see. Hey, great stuff thus far. Stick with us. We got some interviews on the way with you as well. Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram. The 5-seed BYU and 12-seed UCF in the second round of the Big 12 tourney, 12:30 Eastern, 11:30 Central tip-off from Kansas City. On BYU Radio, watch it live on ESPN2. After the break, as promised, we'll hear from BYU assistant coach Cahill Fennell, who is with Jerem Jordan, and continue our preview of the Cougars and Knights Part 3. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Previn.
He got that one.
The Cougs have done it. The comeback Cougs have done it. Into the cutter, Waterman. Oh. The drive is done. Noah Waterman. One lobs it up to Boost.
We are live in Studio B and from Kansas City. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, of course, in Provo. Jerem Jordan in KC with our coverage before BYU tips off against UCF. In fact, Jerem hard at work this morning. He recently spoke with BYU men's basketball assistant coach Cahill Fennell to get the coach's final thoughts before the Cougars and Knights tip off against each other for a third time this season.
All right, Cahill, how would you assess the readiness and preparation of this team going into one of the biggest tournaments BYU's ever played in?
Well, we'll see. I think right now we're doing and saying all the right things. I think the guys are ready to go and fired up, and they seem pretty dialed in and focused. And, it's an early tip, and they've got a little bit of an advantage for playing at this time yesterday. So our guys got to hit the ground running and be ready to go right away.
Earliest tip time of the season. What have you guys done to adjust to that?
We got here a little bit early. We practiced a little bit earlier yesterday. We practiced early on Monday. So there's been a couple days in a row as far as preparation that are occurring at the same time as this tip time. So hopefully we'll be ready. And you know, a lot of times that's just talk, right? That's just things that you and I talk about and fans talk about and the media talks about. But in reality for our players, they just have to be able to be ready to fight, right? Whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the afternoon, in the evening, all that stuff doesn't really matter when the ball goes up.
Who's the morning guy on the team?
That's a good question. I'm not sure we have many morning guys.
They're all college kids, right?
Yeah, we don't have guys that are chomping at the bit at 7 a.m. Maybe Tripp, Townsend Triple. He's always got energy. He's always fired up, and it doesn't really depend on the time of the day.
What's the toughest thing about trying to beat a team three times in a season?
You know, you just this league, everybody's so well coached and they're so well prepared, so they know what we're doing and vice versa. And you got guys that have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They probably feel like they're right in the game, which they were in the last two previous games. And they're going to feel like they have a chance. And it's just incumbent upon us to take the fight to them and not let them, you know, get a little bit of confidence and momentum and things like that and take this game by the scruff of the neck as early as possible.
You played UCF twice. You beat them twice. They were tight, close games at the end of both. Yet it's been a hot minute since you played them. In fact, it's been exactly a month. 13th of each month, by the way, which is weird playing them. Pick 13th. 13th's kind of the number, right? Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, it's all connected.
I just learned this Taylor Swift thing today, so that's all news to me. I don't know.
What is it about those first two matchups that you think is perhaps sustainable in this game versus what you saw yesterday for UCF against Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I think UCF is obviously playing better when they shoot like they did yesterday at 50% from three. They're going to be really, really dangerous. Obviously, they're a tremendous defensive team at 12th in the country, so all those things remain. For us, it's just adhering to our game plan and our principles, both offensively and defensively. We still have to take care of the basketball. We still have to keep them off the offensive glass. We still have to be really, really aggressive on both ends. And then hopefully those kind of things take care of themselves moving forward. But as far as, you know, changing what we do from game to game to game is against the same opponent. Slight tweaks here and there, but it's really just dialing down and doubling down on what we do.
Diallo's been a handful for a lot of teams, including BYU. What's the best strategy against him with the combination of Khalifa and Foose?
I think with either of those guys is physicality and taking the fight to him. He's a big, strong, aggressive kid. He's very, very physical. He'll throw his body into you in the offensive glass and his duck-ins, seals, everything like that. So we can't be second to the fight. We can't be, you know, surprised when he punches us in the face. We have to take the fight to him, like I said. So I think both of those guys are ready to do it.
Well, thanks for the time and good luck.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
All right, some interesting things there from Cahill Fennell, BYU men's basketball assistant coach. He mentioned UCF with a little bit of an advantage because they've already played in this time frame. So how does that affect BYU, especially out of the gate? The Knights shooting 50% from the three-point line yesterday. Yeah, BYU is going to do, we think, a better job defensively. Can they keep that number down closer to 30%? Obviously, we went over some keys to the game. Did Jerem and I in that opening block, you got to keep UCF off the offensive glass. This is a team that thrives on second chance opportunities and certainly turning teams over. 17 turnovers forced the last time they played BYU. The Cougars held on in that game. Watch for that turnover number, the offensive glass, and can BYU make UCF rather take tougher shots from the three-point line. We continue our coverage from Kansas City. Jerem also speaking with ESPN's Fran Fischilla about this matchup and what the Cougars could be capable of in KC.
All right, Fran, BYU's wanted to play on a big stage like this for a long time, and now they're at the Big 12 tournament. How would you kind of describe what this tournament is like to BYU fans who have never really watched it like this?
Well, there's the argument about Big East, Madison Square Garden. I was part of that for a number of times, and that's pretty special. But Kansas City is it's really like a mini Final Four. It really is. When you come down to the Power and Light District, you'll see it, Jerem, this next couple days. The fan bases are phenomenal. The games, by and large, are sellouts. Obviously, the competition of what is the best league in the country speaks for itself. And Kansas City is a great location. It really is. I think, and obviously, it's going to be here till 31. And the reason it's going to be here till 31 is it's just has great support. There's a great vibe. It's a basketball town for a week. And BYU fans are going to see it. And they love basketball, so they're going to fit right in.
BYU fans feel like they know the guy that runs the town, Andy Reid, too,
which is
a kook, so it's kind of a fun vibe that way.
Exactly.
In terms of this tournament specifically, it's interesting because Houston comes in as the one. They're the number one team in the country. Kansas, McCullough, not going to play. Dickinson, not going to play. But Kansas shows up at this. Iowa State excited. Yeah. What's your vibe of kind of who's the favorite here and what could go down?
You know, I was looking at the bracket, and I was thinking of all the second-round games today, and I'm like, these would be quarterfinal games in a given year. And then quarterfinal games tomorrow are going to be incredible. You know, when I look at BYU, TCU, you know, Texas, Oklahoma's had a heartbreak this year, and they're pretty good. You know, you can go right down the list, and the way UCF played yesterday in Cincinnati, with a chance now with a wounded Kansas to advance, I can't wait till Saturday because I'm going to get the chance to do most of these games. But it's going to be what we've seen in the league. We know Houston's had a phenomenal year, but yet when you look at 1-14, it's as balanced as the league's ever been.
What's the value of kind of these games relative to the seed line for the NCAA tournament, specifically for BYU?
Yeah.
Lenardi has BYU as a 5. Do you think they could get to a 4 if they win, say, 2 games in this tournament?
I think there's from what I understand, and I texted with Joe last night about the variables. You know, after the first two lines, the ones and twos are almost, set with the with Iowa State and Arizona and Tennessee and Houston, obviously. There's a lot of movement, I think, 3, 4, and 5 seed lines. So, absolutely, I think BYU could make a little bit of noise in this tournament and move up. But if I'd have told you back in October that, hey, don't worry, everything's good, BYU's going to be a 5 seed, you go, I'll take it right now.
Yeah.
I love the way they play. Obviously, I'm excited to see the Cougs in here. Because of what they've accomplished this year. And I'm excited because they play a brand of basketball that I like.
You're the analyst tonight. You get to kind of chill these first couple games and observe, which is fun. BYU third matchup with UCF, two really tough games.
Yes.
What do you think of this matchup, round 3? And it is hard to beat a team 3 times. BYU's done it just 16 times in the last 25 years.
First of all, you know how good UCF is because you played 2 really tough games with them. The second game in Provo was crazy. The first one was a great road win. It might have been the first road win of the season for the Cougs in the league. And so, and then we watched them yesterday. I did the game, and they're very athletic, very good defensively. The key, I think, for the Cougs is that they probably score a little better than UCF, so making threes, as you know, I don't have to tell you, making threes is a good formula, and certainly that's probably a key today. But I would expect a dogfight and a really good test for BYU.
Last time BYU played in this gym, Tyler Haas made a late shot to beat Texas. Yeah. BYU's hoping they summon that kind of energy from the Cougs today, I assume, right?
Yeah, I just think the coolest – listen – I know the history of Cougar basketball, you know, because I'm a junkie. I mean, and it was Tyler Hawes. It's been Jimmer somewhere else. It's been Devin Durant. To see these guys make their own history today and now going forward in the Big 12, I'm really excited about. And we've already worked with our people back in Bristol. We will be in Provo next year, I promise you. I have to get to Provo. I can't wait.
You have to.
Absolutely. Yeah, can't wait.
Thanks for the time, friend.
Always a pleasure.
Jerem Jordan with Fran Fraschilla of ESPN, and now we welcome Jerem back in live. He's just minutes away from watching BYU tip off with his own eyes in Kansas City. I love a couple of things that Fran brought up. He called this tournament a mini Final Four in Kansas City. Frankly, by the time you get to the semifinals and the championship game, Jerem, it feels like those caliber of matchups, Elite Eight matchups, right? So he's not far off there. And then the second thing, he talked about, obviously, BYU scores a little better, certainly, than Oklahoma State, gives UCF some problems. We have documented well and ad nauseum that if BYU makes 10 or more threes and shoot 32% or better from the three-point line, they're pretty unbeatable this year. Is it that simple today against UCF? Make at least 10 threes, 32% or better from the three-point line.
It might be. They're going to have to rebound. There's just a physicality with UCF that's unique, right? BYU did see it against San Diego State, although San Diego State, to me, is a little more skilled in its ability to score the basketball. UCF, if they were a hockey team, they would be a dump-and-chase team. Just get after it, crash the boards, knock people over. That one dude with the Rangers that everyone wants to fight, apparently that would be the UCF thing. Let's just see if BYU can't rebound the basketball. Can they make some shots? Because you'd really disarm UCF and their ability to offensive rebound and chip away if you get up big with some threes. So BYU is going to have to make shots from the free throw line, rebound. They're going to have to play good defense. But like you said, with this tournament, there's a buzz and a vibe today that I didn't feel a single time in Vegas, just because the fan base are just obviously a little bit larger, a little more history, a little more tradition. But this is big time. BYU's waited for an opportunity like this, Spence, and I feel like they're ready for the moment. And based on what I saw when they walked into the locker room, they got their game faces on.
All right, Jerem Jordan, we're going to let you head inside the arena. The work continues for all of us as we push forward. Great stuff, man. We'll talk to you again soon. And hopefully to preview Texas Tech and BYU tomorrow after a Cougar victory today.
Absolutely. Tell JT and Ty hi for me.
Hey, you got it, brother. Jerem Jordan, live from Kansas City. Okay, up next, of course, tip-off between the 5-seed and 12-seed UCF, the Cougars and Knights, once again in the second round of the Big 12 tournament. You can tune to BYU Radio right now. The game is on ESPN2. I would advise you, if you would like to, you know, have a multi-screen format here, come back and listen to Tyler Hawes and Jonathan Tavernari discuss the game as it happens with me and look at some big-picture scenarios. What is BYU capable of on the seeding line for March Madness, depending on what they do against UCF and beyond? We'll discuss it all next. Don't go anywhere. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU at the conference tournament in Kansas City, in the toughest basketball conference in the country. Trevanel, yes!
Up and under, toying with him. Can we roll? Let's go.
3, 2, and 1.
Go Cougs. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It is Big 12 tournament day for the Cougars and Knights as BYU looks to do something that is always tough, beat the same team 3 times in a season. Now, we have a unique setup here today. Okay, here are the parameters. We're not allowed to show you because of broadcast rights live coverage of the game, but that doesn't mean we can't react to it live and certainly take that conversation big picture. And we thought, who better than a couple of sharpshooters and all-time greats at BYU to help us do so? We welcome in the all-time leading scorer in BYU basketball history, Tyler Hawes, and one of the greatest three-point shooters in the history of Cougar basketball, Jonathan Tavernari. Thanks for being with us as we talk live over the first 10 or so minutes of this game, guys.
Yeah, hey, great to be here. This is awesome. Best time of the year, Spence. March is upon us, and excited for BYU and how they're playing. And seems like something good is brewing for these guys.
JT, man, this is pretty wild that BYU's at the Big 12 tournament.
The only times that I, and I don't know about you, because we had, you know, after college, we both played in Europe. The times that I miss basketball the most is right around March.
Oh, yeah.
Because you get a little bit of, like, warm days. So spring is coming up. Obviously not here today in certain areas of Utah. But and that's the time that I miss the most. Like, you start watching, you know, that Sunday before Selection Sunday. There are some conference tournaments coming up, and you see some finals, you see some, you know, teams booking the ticket for the big dance. And that's usually when I miss basketball the most. I change my ringtone to be, you know, the March Madness.
He's keeping it on loud at work.
I'm really excited. So, yeah.
Hey, we are officially underway in Kansas City. Tip just happened. So let's just start first things first. If you had to pick one thing, one stat, one specific category today, what has your immediate interest in this matchup between the Cougars and Knights?
Well, I think for me, it's rebounding. This UCF team, it hits the glass so hard, especially on offense. They rely on those second chance points. And so, you know, I think with Diallo inside and CJ Walker, some of these guys that just crash the glass so hard, BYU needs to key in on that, but also make some shots. They just got one to go. That's a great way
to
start.
And it's Ali Khalifa, who I believe that big man scenario, because Fu struggled in both games against the size of UCF, JT. Ali, and it's Ramadan. He's fasting. Like, this is a deeply religious week for him. He comes out and knocks down the first three.
To me, what I'll take as the most important part is, you know, not to kind of go away from what Tyler said, because I think that's a great point. But I think that what this BYU team does better than anything is, as we're seeing right now, is knocking down threes. You live and you die by it, and I get it. But I think that if they can be above 32, 33% from three, they're going to shoot enough that they will be able to win the game. To me, that's the key, right? The times that BYU has struggled are times that they don't make enough shots. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I feel like, and somebody that I personally, this happened to me a lot, the more shots I made on offense, the more energy I would have on defense. And so, you know, to Ty's point, I think rebounding is an incredible important key. Especially, you know, with the Fu situation against the matchups. But I will add, the more shots you make on offense, the more energy, you know, it gives to you on defense. At least that's what I see as the most important key.
BYU has taken two threes. They have made both threes. They lead 6-0.
Great start.
This is, an ideal start for the Cougars. UCF has missed their first three shots as Dallin Hall brings it into the front court. Okay, Ty, last game against UCF, BYU only made 8 three-pointers, but they did make 40 free throws. Mm-hmm. It's one of the hardest games to watch in the history of basketball, in my consumption of basketball.
Long.
It was brutal. Yeah. So how many threes do you feel like BYU needs to make? Is it as simple as making 10, which has been kind of the magic number for them all season?
Well, they didn't make 10 in either of the first two games, and still found a way to win. I feel like that kind of that magic number is 12. If they can get to 12, BYU finds a way to kind of cruise to a 10-point victory. But it seems like 10 would be enough in a game like this. But UCF, you know, to JT's point, like, they get out, they guard this three-point line, and they're keyed in. They know the way that BYU wants to play, and so they're keying in on that. They have great size and length, and I feel like in those first two games, BYU struggled with how fast they closed on the three-point line. They ran them off the three-point line. They were extra physical. Yeah, they shot 40 free throws. They tried to make it a different game than the way BYU wants to play. But this is a great start for BYU.
The one thing I would add to that is if we can somehow manage to not give away, you know, 20 points
right
in the last 2 minutes.
Right. That was wild. I've never seen anything like that. And you're referencing game two. It was like the last 90 seconds of the game.
And Mark Pope told you on an interview, I'll never forget, he goes, "We just witnessed something that I don't think none of us will ever witness again."
It'll never happen again, yeah.
And he even mentioned that to you, and also in post-game, he said, "Well, we just witnessed that team did. I don't think none of them will ever be a part of it ever again in their lives." And
wild.
So the one thing that I would add to all the things that we're sharing, you know, I think the numbers that Ty has shared, they're pretty right there, right, in terms of, you know, 10, 12 threes, you know, controlling rebounding. I think it's an area of specific that this team, a lot of times, and not only – And I don't know if you remember, Coach Rose would always tell us the hardest game to win in a tournament is the first one.
Sure.
Yes.
And so, you know, this is BYU TV, so it's also okay to share. One of the coolest experiences I ever had at BYU was right before we beat Florida.
Yes.
We all got together in Lamont Morgan's room. And we got together and we said a prayer, all of us together. Super, you know, spiritual experience.
Well, and but the team meeting before that, too.
That's right. And so, and that's a unique thing about BYU, right? And so I know that's BYU TV, so that's okay to share. But I will say is not only for today's game, which they're showing incredible job, especially, you know, with Dallin Hall and this physical play from Diallo, but as they also go to the NCAA tournament, we know that they're a lock, right? We don't just don't know what
they're
seed,
in,
but they're in.
At worst, a six seed, we think. If they lose today,
it doesn't
probably
matter.
A six seed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, but to me is they started the game the right way today. Can they also do this tomorrow if they win? Can they do it next Thursday when they play? And so, and also how they start, but also as they finish, and what a pass. And so to me, I feel like if they can control the game at the beginning and at the end, they're going to be very successful.
It's an 8-0 lead for BYU. It was almost 10-0. Trevin Nell having a layup blocked on a great pass from Ali Khalifa. Just to get you caught up, flagrant one foul called on Ibrahima Diallo, which granted Dallin Hall a couple of free throws. He made both of those. So Cougars have made 2 threes. They made 2 free throws. Early 8-point lead. Let's talk big picture scenario now, Ty. We're talking about, okay, over the course of this week, what happens if BYU wins one game in Kansas City? What if they win two? What if they get upset today by UCF? How will this impact what BYU could potentially do in March Madness? So let's start worst case scenario. UCF rallies, they win this game, and they beat BYU. What do you believe that would do to BYU on the seed line in March Madness?
I think maybe they drop one spot. I think maybe they're a six seed. I think, you know, looking at Joe Lunardi, he has them as the first five seed. And so, you know, I think if they drop this game, maybe they drop to a six, but you know, just get in the tournament and to JT's point, find a way to win that first game and you're off to the races.
So you bring up a good point. BYU is the first five seed. So on his overall seed line, like if we're just numbering the teams from 1 to 68 to get in the field, BYU's number 17 and Trevin Nell has just scored a three. BYU's up 11-0. There is a timeout on the floor. BYU has a double-digit lead 3 minutes and 6 seconds into the game, JT. So, I mean, it looks good now, but we've learned in this conference, no lead is safe. Like, no lead is safe. On the big picture seed line, JT, even if they did lose today's game, are they far enough up the overall seed line that they could still be a five? Because this wouldn't technically be a bad loss.
Yeah,
right. The interesting thing about the talk heads is BYU has playing Pittsburgh. BYU is playing Salt Lake. BYU might be playing in the moon on a different bracket, right? And so I think to Tyler's point, what I predict in the way that I interpret all of these different scenarios and so on, if BYU can beat UCF today, if by chance they can also beat Texas Tech tomorrow, I think that there's no way that they're not a four seed.
Yes,
I agree.
I have a hard time, you know, with all of the metrics and the different formulas, I have a hard time believing or thinking they're not a four seed. If they win today and lose tomorrow, I think, you know, you kind of stay where you are as, you know, one of the top, you know, one or two five seeds. But I would have a hard time believing that even if they lose tonight, you know, to Ty's point, and as you shared, they would be lower than a six seed, right? I mean, you look at the strength of schedule, and you look at the Big 12 schedule, and then you look at the net rankings and the Kempon, and it looks like there's also some severe weather in Kansas City because it's raining threes.
Oh, it's 14-0.
Goodness.
Ali Khalifa with his second three.
The one thing I will say is I'm going to repeat something I just shared. This is an incredible start. They get the possession again, a foul. UCF is close to be on bonus. Can we go from being up 14 to up 20? And I'm not saying to be up 30, 40, and by 50.
Continuing it.
But how can you make sure that you don't let up?
Yeah.
You don't lose the momentum. Guys that would come off the bench, make sure that they stayed up. And guys, Jackson Robinson hasn't come in yet.
The Big 12 sixth man of the year.
Big 12. By the way, best sixth man of the year in BYU basketball history. I wholeheartedly believe that. And he hasn't even come in yet. And so my hope is that we can keep this up. And what a momentum builder. You know, to be able to win the first game of the tournament and then to just go and face Texas Tech tomorrow if they win with you know, seeing the hoop this big. And so what a performance by BYU so far.
Wow. Okay, we're going to take a break as we continue this split-screen experience, if you will, from Kansas City live on BYU Sports Station. We're talking big picture. BYU obviously playing right now. We've never done this before. It's a fun experience, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes with Jonathan Tavernari and Tyler Haas as BYU continues play in Kansas City. They're up 14-0. Make it 14-2. The Knights have scored. Breaking news. We'll be back in just a moment with more live BYUSN. In his chest right now after the start for BYU in Kansas City. BYU leading UCF 14-2. They are in a timeout. We are very much not in a timeout as we continue our live conversation from Studio B in Provo, Utah, alongside Jonathan Tavernari and Tyler Haas. I am Spencer Linton. Okay, we were just talking during the break. There is a unique challenge of jumping out to a very big lead early in a game like this, because it's like, okay, well, you couldn't have scripted a better start, but how do you maintain against a team that now is going to play with just utter desperation?
Yeah, well, I think you have to keep the aggression up. I mean, BYU is taking and making great shots. They're getting good looks, and they need to just continue that aggressiveness. Like, that's just a great look from, who was that, Dallin that created that for
Ali Khalifa? Yeah.
Right. But they've got to stay aggressive. The tendency is you jump out to a big lead and you relax and say, oh, we got this. But there's, you know, we're only 5 minutes into this game. There's so much left that can still happen. We were just talking about the big jump that UCF got out to in the second half, went on an 18-1 run.
Yeah, and that win against Oklahoma State yesterday.
Oklahoma State. And so this team's very capable of putting together a run. And so they just need to continue to score, weather the storm, realize that, hey, they're going to take some punches, but finding a way to stay aggressive. Love that. You know, UCF's trying to press.
Already.
And we're on the attack, making them pay.
Richie Saunders to the free throw line, BYU leading 14-3 with 15:25 to play. JT, again, let's go big picture here. Let's say BYU does hold on and they win today. So they at least beat UCF, but they lose to Texas Tech tomorrow. I feel secure in saying, like, okay, if you beat UCF, but you lose to Texas Tech, which is a team that finished better than you in the Big 12 standings, BYU should feel secure that they're going to be a 5 seed. At that point, it's like, did they do enough to play in Salt Lake City, though?
And I think, you know, and I've mentioned this before. I don't know if I mentioned to you and Jerem, but I, at this point, like Tyler said earlier in the show, just get to the tournament. It has been a while. I think the fact that you made to the tournament in the Big 12, that is saying something, right? The year that these guys have had, obviously playing Salt Lake would be amazing. That means Hema's not going to have to return the body paint that he has secured.
JT and Hema Haymuli are going to paint up for the big dance.
So that means that Hema doesn't have to go, you know, and make a return. But it to me is, you know, just one of those things that I'm excited.
Jackson Robinson for three, BYU leading 19-3.
And my favorite thing is, you know, to Ty's point, especially after the UCF second half start against Oklahoma State, the way that BYU has handled this press, and you beat the press by not hurrying it, by take your time. And a lot of these players, my favorite thing about Jackson Robinson, about Dallin Hall, and about Ali Khalifa is they play to their own speed. Right. You know, we see the way that they're attacking here, and is it, you know, just a great way that they are taking their time and attacking. And so this is amazing.
Hey, right? Of note, Fouche Traore scored 2 points in the first game against UCF. He scored 2 points in the second game against UCF. He just got his first two on an offensive rebound, no less, to make BYU.
And a block on the other end.
Take an 18-point lead. Yeah, and a block on the other end. So, hey, if BYU can get something from Fouche and – I mean, JT, even if BYU takes 20 more threes and they make six more, that would be 30% for the rest of the game, coupled with the hot start, Now they get to that number of like, make 10 threes, it will be better than 32%, which is wildly just been like this almost automatic winning formula for the Cougars.
I still remember, and I don't know if there's a way to pull up this clip, but it was after one of the first games of the season, and you were interviewing Richie, and I want to say it was after the first game of the season that they broke the record for 43 threes in a game, and everybody was like, what the heck just happened in the first game of the season? But you could see at Richie's face and the way he was talking, he was like, last year we just made so many bad choices, but we learned a lot, and we're excited to get this year going. Mm-hmm. And it's something that my wife has shared with me a lot. My wife always says, good choices come from experience. Experience comes from making bad choices, right? And so I think that if you apply that to this basketball team, we saw these guys make a lot of bad choices last year, right? I mean, you were here in the studio, you know, pretty much all the time. And
tough losses.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, really
But some close losses that, you know, you tweak a couple of things here and there and they win the game. And so to me, that clip from Richie says, we learn from our mistakes. We worked on them. Here we are ready to make the good choices based on the experience that we have. And are we not seeing that right now? I mean, it's 21-3. You know, there's 7.5 minutes, you know, that has been played. You know, 6.5 minutes have been played. And BYU looks phenomenal. I mean, Houston who? And Texas who? I mean, the way that these guys are playing, and I feel like the experience that these guys have, you know, Spencer Johnson being here for a while, Travin coming back next year, Jackson, you know, being a proven winner this year. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget Ali Khalif. It's his first year with BYU, but he's been around college basketball before. And I think his religion, his character, the way that he is also brings a lot of experience and baggage to be able to say, hey, I fit into this culture. I want to be a team guy. And, you know, Noah being here for more than a year and being adaptable to the BYU way, it's real, you know, as alumni that was in that situation and had a lot of success, seeing these guys do the same things that we did, it's really, you know, it makes me very proud to be associated with the program.
BYU has started 6-for-10 from the field. UCF just made their second field goal. It's a 3, so they are now 2-for-12, and the pressure continues. BYU leading by 15. Okay, Ty, let's say BYU beats UCF, and then they get some revenge against Texas Tech. And they want this, by the way. BYU wants another shot at Texas Tech. If BYU wins 2 games in Kansas City, how do you feel like that helps BYU? Is it enough to bump them to a 4 seed? And being a 4 seed playing in Salt Lake City, potentially.
I think for sure. I think you get to that 4 seed because you get past Texas Tech, you're probably going to face Houston. And all those things play into the metrics and you know, the things that these experts look at. But I'm just so excited for the way that BYU's playing. And, you know, I also, along with JT, super proud to be an alumni of this program. And what Coach Pope has built and what he's doing is just an incredible thing. First year in the Big 12. And, you know, I was telling somebody yesterday, you look historically at the teams that do well in the tournament. They're deep at every position. They have different guys that step up. They are dangerous from the three-point line. They get after it. And
you're explaining BYU.
This is BYU. Like, they're geared up to make a run at this thing, and just super excited to watch.
All right, 12:07 to play. Trey Stewart's going to the free throw line. The Cougars lead 21-8. We're going to take our final break here on this unique BYU Sports Nation as the Cougars play live in Kansas City, and we discuss big picture scenarios. Final thoughts after this as the Cougars and Knights continue. Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Real Cougar?
Yes, it is. It is Cosmos Churros. JT asked a question about the food for BYU at the Big 12 tournament. Cosmos Churros are a hit, by the way. Our poll question of the day, how many games do you expect BYU to win at the Big 12 tournament? We gave you 4 options, 0, 1, 2, or 3+. The winning option, and this is, I know, largely BYU fans, they think the Cougars will win 2 games, 44% of the vote. If BYU gets to Friday's semis against Houston, they're a 4 seed, baby. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes from Ben Peterson on X, who says, Two wins is my realistic expectation. BYU has two wins against UCF and a big lead on Tech. Houston is really good, and a win there would be a surprise for sure. Okay, win two, no one's going to complain about two wins. Thanks to both of you for joining us again on this very unique BYU Sports Nation. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. We'll step outside basketball for a moment. Brinley Anderson of Women's Gymnastics is the Big 12 Newcomer of the Week after her 9.975 on the beam. Our thanks to today's guests as well, Cahill Fennell and Fran Pashilla. Sorry to Dennis Pitta for running out of time. For Jerem and all the guys, I'm Spencer. Go Cougs. We'll see you tomorrow.